Welcome to The Friendly Unknown. I'm your host, Allison Felice. Join me as I talk to creative professionals from around the globe about their paths to becoming who they are today in order to help demystify the creative journey. Today, I'm chatting with Tokyo-based creative Lindsay Arakawa. Lindsay possesses that magical combination of creativity and strategic thinking. She's part freelance social media strategist and part creator of Dreamy Images that combine hand-drawn messages and illustrations over her film photographs. We discuss the serendipitous way she came to find her creative style, how she uses social media to experiment and help push her work forward, how she recently took the leap to move from New York City, where she oversaw Instagram strategy and creative at Refinery29, to Tokyo, where she's embarked on a freelance career. Lindsay also generously shares how she finds clients, how she built confidence in her work and herself, and the challenges that have come along with moving to Japan. Lindsay has a really wonderful energy about her, and I left this conversation feeling revitalized. I was inspired by the playful lens she views her creativity through. She doesn't overthink things, and she creates work that's a kind of snapshot of who she is in that moment. Coming from a chronic overthinker, it was refreshing to hear her process. I'm excited to share this one with you guys, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. To find out more about Lindsay, you can follow her on Instagram at Blinzy. That's B-L-I-N-D-S-A-A-Y. Or find her online at lindsayarakawa.com. To stay up to date on all things The Friendly Unknown, you can follow me on Instagram at Allison Felice or visit thefriendlyunknown.com. Without further ado, here's my chat with Lindsay. Hey, Lindsay, thanks so much for being here. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing really well. I'm excited to talk to you today because I've been a fan of your work for a while.
Oh, thank you.
And you actually gave me one of my first jobs as an illustrator when you were at Refinery29.
I know. I was going to say, I was like, I feel like we've known each other through the internet for such a long time because when we reached out to you for that project, it feels like such a long time ago.
It really does. Because I feel like I've been through so much since then, like having a baby and
I know. Congrats.
Thank you. But yeah, it's been like 3 years since that project, but it really feels like I was a different me then. So it's been like a lifetime.
I know. It feels like a different me too. I'm like, what? I used to live in New York? That's so weird, you know?
So I've seen your journey going from New York to Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, why don't we kind of start out there? Like, what do you do, first of all?
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. So currently I'm freelancing. And I kind of have like two different freelancing roles. So on one hand, like my more sort of like career type of freelancing role is, I guess, like a social media strategist, or what they say here is like an SNS consultant. And I sort of work with brands to help shape their voice on their Instagram accounts or social media accounts, help out with strategy, content creation, all that fun stuff. It's like a little bit more businessy. But then on the other hand, I also, I guess, like draw or do little illustrations on the side. And I've been getting some freelance work for that too, which has been really cool.
Yeah, I feel like you're so humble, like the way you describe that. Like, so the way I see it is it's like you take these really dreamy, amazing photographs.
Oh, thank you.
And then you hand draw text over them, like messages and little illustrations. And it's so uniquely you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they're really beautiful. And I feel like the messages you're sharing are just like always spot on and like so needed right now.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like a weird way how that whole side of me, I guess, was birthed, if that's like the right word. But I've always sort of been like a very like creatively driven person, or I like to think that like throughout my entire life, like my mom put me in a lot of like art classes and like dance classes when I was young. And so I always had that sort of side of me. And I felt like with my career, I sort of wanted to be able to express myself in that way as well. And up until sort of like before I moved to New York, it was very kind of like just strategy, business focused. And so I did kind of start to take film photos on the side, maybe like, I don't even know, like 8 years ago now. And I just started to accumulate all these old film photos. And I never really thought, because I'm not like a professional or I like didn't go to school for it, I never really thought that they were like amazing enough, you know, to kind of like live on their own. And I still kind of like feel that way. And maybe it's just like a sort of, what is that phrase that everybody uses now? Like imposter syndrome?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I go through that like a lot with my work. And so like, I definitely felt that when I was just taking images or like photos, and one day I was like, I should draw on top of it. I don't even know where it came from. And I don't think like I went to like an exhibit or like a gallery or like was inspired by anything. I think one day I was just like sitting in the park and I was like, I'm going to write on top of one of my images. And then it kind of like turned into what it is today, which is really weird, I guess.
That's like, yeah, sort of a eureka moment. Like, yeah. Did you know then that you were onto something or?
No. It was, I don't even know what it was. I think literally one of the first ones I did, I was like really interested. This is going to sound so weird, but I was really interested in like dog saliva.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, very strange. But I think like I was at a park in Brooklyn. It was maybe in Fort Greene with my friend Florencia. And there was a beagle there named Bagel. And then so we became its friend really quickly and it came up to us. And then I think it maybe like kissed us or like licked us or whatever when it was saying hello. And then I was like, is dog saliva clean? Because like, I feel like my mom lied to me growing up and was like, oh yeah, like it's fine. Their mouths are super clean, or that's like a myth that you hear. And so I Googled it and then Google was like, no girl, you're wrong. And then so they're like, it's actually really dirty. And then so I was like, oh, this phrasing, the way that Google is describing this to me is really funny. I know this is like a really long-winded explanation, but yeah, so I was like, oh, this explanation is really funny. And then I just like wrote it out in like watercolors or something. And then when I got home, I scanned that and then threw it over like a photo I took in Portland when I visited the Rose Garden. And then I think that was maybe like the first one that I created, and I posted it and it got like a kind of nice response in a way that I wasn't really expecting it to. And then it kind of just like was a snowball sort of effect from there.
That's amazing. Because I always tell people, like, just if somebody doesn't really know what they want to do, I'm like, just follow the little joys, like the little things that you find interesting.
Yeah.
Like you did that and you like came up with this amazing combination.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I honestly don't. Like, I feel like so much of my work was birthed from Instagram. Like, when I moved to New York, or like, it wouldn't have been possible without Instagram in a weird way, because when I moved to New York and I got the job at Refinery 29, my job was to like solely focus on kind of like the nurturing and growth of their Instagram account. And so I was like constantly like in that world or in that mindset. And from that, or like, I guess like from that position, you know, like I started to get somewhat of a following on my personal Instagram. And then, yeah, I don't know. I guess like from that, like I saw a nice response when I posted like creative work. And then it just was, I guess, serendipitous, maybe, if that makes sense. Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. It really was kind of like a magical beginning and for such a like a random chain of events too, which is really cool. Like, I wonder, had you not, you know, met Bagel the Beagle, if it would have happened. But
I know I owe everything to Bagel the Beagle, I think.
I love that story. That's so fun. And I love like just how you were sort of like playing with things and it was born.
Yeah. I just felt like I had so much to work with, and they're like, all of my photos were kind of just sitting there. Like, I wasn't posting them really to my Instagram account, and like, I didn't think that it like deserved a Flickr or anything like that, just because it was just like random photos that I would take like all the time. And so I had like hundreds of pictures, and I kind of just felt like I needed to give it purpose.
Yeah, and I feel like the softness of the film photography too, and just like the way you see the world it really works with a message over it. Like the layers are really beautiful, and I feel like,
thank you.
You know, having the text alone and the images alone, like, are one thing, but like, mm-hmm. putting them together, it's like bigger than the two of them alone, I guess.
Yeah, really nice that you said that, because actually, like, yesterday or last night when I was drawing like another one that I just posted to my feed yesterday, my partner Ray, he's a graphic designer, but I sometimes like ask him now, I'm like, for like color advice or like what he thinks about like the composition. And then so I was showing him the image that I posted, and it was a picture of me holding up like a melon soda float in front of my purple dress. And then I put text over it. And his style is very sort of like simple black and white. So the complete opposite of what my work looks like, because I use a ton of colors, and sometimes you can't even read the text because there's like so much going on. But he was like, oh, you know, like, I think maybe it would look better with just the picture. And then I was like, no. And then so I like I separated the two layers, and I showed him like what it would look like without the text, and he's like, oh, you were right. And I was like, yeah, I know.
You're like, yeah, you know the process now. Yeah. You know how to make magic. And and I just want to like touch on your handwriting too, because your handwriting is so unique. Like, is that like your handwriting, or is that more of like drawing and illustrative?
It definitely, I don't know, maybe it's like a mixture of the two, because sometimes I'll just write like in like my normal handwriting on some of the Instagram stuff that I make. And then I'm like, wow, that looks like chicken scratch. Like, it's so like, it looks like the complete opposite of what I normally sort of draw, I guess. And maybe I should put up something where it shows like how I create the letters, but it is like a very sort of like swoopy coloring in the lines type of process. Mm. And so, yeah, my normal handwriting definitely does not look like that.
Well, because like even the handwriting you're doing is sort of like evolved too. Like before, uh-huh. it was kind of like all one color and sort of like filled in. And now sometimes it has like a gradient, or like sometimes it's only partially filled in. And then like recently there's more of like a kind of like a psychedelic dripping look. And yeah. Even though you're evolving it, it still all looks like you. Like, it's like you've created this little dream world.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Maybe you can like relate, but, and maybe we'll like talk about this more throughout the podcast, but I just feel like when you present your work on Instagram primarily, like as an artist, and this is something maybe more for me that I kind of deal with, but I feel like I constantly need to be challenging myself. And like, even though something has like sort of worked for me in the past, like when you post it like so many times, like maybe because the internet is so like, is like ever evolving and is always changing, I kind of sort of feel like my style needs to do that every once in a while as well. And it's not just like because of the internet, but it's also for like my personal growth. Like,
yeah,
once you become sort of like comfortable or like stagnant with something, I'm just like, okay, what's next, you know?
Yeah, no. I feel completely the same. Like, sometimes I'm dealing with this right now. One of the illustrations for the next episode I'm putting out, I feel like it's just like a remix of things I've done so many times. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like typecast myself as like the girl who does this like this passageway with stars and checkered floors. But so yeah, it's definitely challenging. And like, you know, I want to keep evolving as a person. And I feel like I want my work to reflect that. And I want, yeah, I don't know. Like, do you feel like you're exploring new ideas and like bringing that back into your work and evolving that way? Or like, where are you evolving into?
I don't know. I guess it was kind of interesting to hear what you just said too, because like, I love your work and your style, and I'm like a huge fan. And so it's like, but your style is also very uniquely you too. And I think like, if you were to change that, I would be very interested to see what it looks like, because I'm just like, oh, I love it how it is, you know? So like, I wonder like if people feel the same way about like what I'm doing. And so when I go somewhere like completely like left field with my style, like I wonder if people are like, oh, what the fuck is she doing, you know?
So actually, like the first time you did the sort of like drippy text, I was like, oh my God, like that's amazing, because you really pulled in like another dimension to it.
Uh-huh.
but it still looked like you and felt like you. And I was a cool next step.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice to hear. Yeah. Cause I remember when I first did it, it was just like, I don't know. I guess it's always like trial and error. And the nice thing about making something specifically for Instagram is that you can fuck something up and think it's like really ugly, but then like try again. And that's sort of like my strategy brand mind thinking. But it's like, if you make a mistake like yesterday, you know, like you can always change it the next day, and it's like nobody's gonna care more than you, which is nice.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to remember, is like you may feel like you're totally visible and putting yourself out there to face rejection, but I think it's good to remember that, you know, people probably aren't paying as much of attention as you think they are.
Yeah.
So you have some leeway to like experiment. And,
yeah.
And everything moves so fast that people will just move on.
Yeah, that's so true. It's such a weird space to be creative in, but it's fun. I like it. The like immediate feedback is really nice.
Do you like use the feedback to sort of like follow a direction? Like if you get a lot more likes for like a certain image, do you sort of like continue going in that direction, or are you just sort of like exploring your own?
I think like I wouldn't say that it necessarily like dictates my style, but I definitely like am listening, and I'm like constantly like looking to see what resonates well. But at the end of the day, like a lot of the stuff that I end up creating is very much like me in that moment. Like hardly is it ever, you know, like a planned out thing where like the pictures that I take, like it, I don't take them thinking like, oh, I'm going to draw words over this later. It's always just kind of like, oh, I'm out on this trip in Kanazawa and I love how this castle looks, so I'm going to take a picture. And then sometimes when I'm in my process, like if there's like an emotion that I'm feeling or like something that I like, a message that I really want to get out, then that's usually what ends up being posted. Yeah.
And then the messages are like a mixture of your own messages, right? And then quotes and
yeah. I feel like sometimes, because I'm not like the best copywriter, and so I feel like there are definitely people out there who can stitch together like words a lot better than I can. And so if it's like about, you know, an important like topic like the Black Lives Matter movement, or you know, something that I think somebody has a better way of saying things, you know, then that's when I'll typically use a quote versus like something that I've said personally.
Yeah. And I think like we also find like truths out in the world and then it like really resonates with you. And so, I don't know, maybe that's like sometimes you have a way you can say it, and then sometimes you like maybe put something in a library.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I do. I guess like I do have a notes, like in my notes on notes app, I guess I have like some quotes saved. Like if I read a really inspiring horoscope article, yeah, then I'll like have that saved or something. But yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. And I think you can like stumble upon truths anywhere, you know? So it's like, I can relate to that. Yeah. So you have this like amazing sort of like exploration that's part of what you do. And then like the other part is social media strategy. And like, how did you get into that? Did you study? I mean, I doubt you studied social media, right? Because it's so new. But like, how did you sort of like make your way into that sphere?
My journey to, I guess, social media strategy was also very serendipitous, I guess, now that I think about it. Like when I was growing up, I knew that I always wanted to work in the media in some capacity. And like growing up in a Japanese American household, like my mom was very sort of like Asian mom, where I was like, I'm going to be the next Oprah. And then she's like, no, you're not. You're Asian. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks, mom. And then so she just was like, go shoot for something more realistic. And I was like, I don't know what that looks like. And so that was during the time where, I was actually applying to colleges, and this is going to sound so, so, so bad on my part, but I'm just going to say it anyway because it's my truth. But when I was applying to colleges, I was dating somebody at the time who was going to school in Milwaukee. And
and you're from Hawaii, yeah, and right?
I'm from Hawaii. And then so We had been together for like 3 years or something. He was like my first high school boyfriend, my first boyfriend ever. And like being like, you know, the teenager, impulsive teenager I was, I applied to schools in like Chicago and kind of just like near where he was, but definitely not in Milwaukee because I don't think I would have been able to deal with like the cold weather being from an island, a tropical island. But yeah, so my application strategy was very all over the place. And then in the end, I ended up going to school in San Francisco, where I lived for 7 years. And I went to college in like 2008 and graduated in 2012. And so during that time is sort of when the city started to change, started to get very techie, and it became what it is now. And initially I was drawn to San Francisco because it was like a major city. It felt very diverse at the time. And it was like on the West Coast, so it was like so close to my family. But because like everything was changing, a lot more tech companies were moving in. I feel like that sort of dictated my opportunities, I guess, for internships. And so I was a media studies major at the University of San Francisco. And they offered, like, initially I took classes around like film and like audience, like research and analysis and theory. And so there were a lot of things that, like, I guess social media, like, incorporates that I studied, if that makes sense. And when I was looking for internships as a student, the only things that were showing up were social media internships, because of, like, what was going on. And I was like, I'll just try it and see, like, if this is something that I enjoy. But there was just so much opportunity back then that, like, each internship that I ended up getting was a social media role. And it's kind of just what ended up happening, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were here working in the industry so if you were at school for 4 years, then you were like in the industry here for 3 years. And then, is that right? And then you like moved to New York from here?
Yeah. So after college, I got an internship at a startup, but that was maybe only like 6 months to a year, a tech startup that I don't think exists anymore. But then after that, I got like sort of my first real job at an advertising agency as a social media strategist in San Francisco. And there I was doing work for, you know, that like outdoor sandal brand Teva. Some people call it Teva. Yeah. So I was doing their sort of social media content creation and strategy for the 3 years that I worked there. And on top of that, I was also helping out with pitches for other clients. But then I didn't feel like in that job that was like in an advertising world and kind of like purely strategy, I didn't feel like I was being given a lot of like creative opportunity, and I didn't really feel like I was learning creatively enough. And then that's when I applied to the job at Refinery and my world opened up to me.
So did you apply while you're in San Francisco and then move to New York for the job?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because, I didn't think at that time as well, I was also in like a pretty like long-term relationship in San Francisco, and I had just moved out to Oakland. I got my own like one bedroom apartment by Lake Merritt. It was a big, very like sort of adult move for me. And I like literally had just signed the lease like 6 months prior or something. Wow. And I had like gotten all this furniture, and I did not think that I was leaving. But my best friend, I think Refinery actually posted about the job on their Instagram, and my best friend Raineen sent the post to me back then. And I was like, I'm going to apply. And then I didn't think I was going to hear back because I didn't know anybody at the company. And yeah, I don't know. It just like, it moves so quickly. And they're like, can you move like at the end of the month? And I was like, whoa, you know, like what, you know? And so, yeah, things just like happened really quickly, I guess.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're that young too, like you can make moves like that really quickly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. It was definitely like everything sort of like lined up in a way where I wasn't super happy at my job anymore. My relationship wasn't really like going anywhere, I guess, in the way that I had expected it to. And I had been in San Francisco for like 7 years. And I think that I had always wanted to live in New York. And so it just felt like the perfect opportunity.
Yeah. What do you think it was about Refinery 29 that like, what did they see in you?
I don't, maybe that I was just like a huge, like fangirl for the brand. Like back then in college, I read the website like all the time. I just like knew so much about the brand. Like I was obsessed with like, you know, Connie Wang, who's an editor there. I was like, that's going to be me, you know? And then now Connie and I are like good friends, which is really fun. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of seemed like the company that was perfect for me. And maybe they felt that this super eager 25-year-old at the time, like who had social media strategy experience, could help. I don't know what they saw in me, but
that's amazing. Well, I'm sure like you guys are in the same universe and they saw you. And
yeah, I'm just glad they saw me because my life changed a lot.
That's amazing.
And so, I met you through it, so
yeah, that's true. And now we're here.
And now we're here
is the world. So what was your like day-to-day like, what, so you have to like explain to me what social media strategy is, because I feel like I'm one of those artists that's just like kind of all over the place. And strategy sounds really amazing to me. Like, yeah, it feels like I need more of that in my life. So what was like your day-to-day? I'm like taking notes.
I don't know. I guess like I mentioned earlier that like I was sort of like craving more of like a creative sort of outcome from my work. But I also like having balance of like right brain, left brain type of thinking. So a lot of like the strategy that I did at Refinery was definitely like heavily relied on like what the creative looked like as well. But I guess like my day to day at are you talking about like at Refinery specifically, or just like as a social media strategist, or?
Yeah, I guess like generally. Yeah, it doesn't have to be Refinery.
I guess like it really depends on what like the client, what my client or like the brand is looking to do. But a lot of the time as like a social media strategist, I like to tell the people who I'm advising that you need to sort of like have a purpose, you know, for like being on a platform that's like heavily like saturated with so much content. You know, like if you are just going to be posting things that you've posted to Twitter, on Instagram, like just repurposing things without like a real message, then I feel like you're honestly kind of like wasting your time and your followers' times. Like I think like it's important to have like a really strong voice, create really beautiful original content, and have like a message that I think is going to resonate with a lot of people, especially now. And so a lot of it is like taking a look at like a competitive landscape or like similar accounts who are doing like a really good job, and maybe some accounts who, you know, like have tried things, but it's maybe not working out for them, and like kind of learn from those sort of missteps. And kind of just like crafting like a beautiful sort of presence for the brand on their Instagram account, mm-hmm. I guess is kind of like what my day to day looks like. And there's like a lot of different things that go into that, like content creation, copywriting, even though I said I'm not great at copywriting.
Yeah. Again, being totally humble. So, do you feel like when a brand is like too generic, that it's like not because I'm finding this more and more. Like I used to think that if I make something that's more general, more people will like it. Like it'll like more people will see it and more people will like it. But what I'm finding is that actually being more specific and just like being exactly who I am and like working, trying to get closer to that and like kind of peel the layers off of who I am, like I actually end up connecting more with people.
Yeah, I think there's truth to like both of the things that you just said. Like to speak very kind of like frankly, like I think that like we know that there are certain things that will like resonate with like a wider audience. So for example, like if you talk about like a trending topic, you know, like through your work, like if it's, I don't know, what is like a general thing that people talk about on the same day every day? Like happy new, like if it's New Year's or something, you know, everybody on social is talking about New Year's on the same day at the same time. And so it's like, it's going to resonate with more people. And so there's truth to having like some of that, like sort of generic, content types in the work. But then on the other hand, it is important to have a more unique perspective, I think, on those sort of like generic ideas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like you said, like finding your voice.
Yeah. I think it really depends on like what your like kind of goal is or intention is for your platform, because if you want to just get like a ton of followers, then you know, you can just post like really sexy pictures in front of the mirror and you know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Like a ton of hashtags.
Yeah. They're definitely like, there's definitely that strategy to it. But I think like when I work as like a strategist, I definitely want to help, you know, brands to find their unique voice while like thinking about like the growth strategies and tactics that'll sort of like help to boost that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's like more than just social media too, because like you're working with a brand to like sort of find clarity around what their voice is and where they're going and
how they maybe
stand out in a crowded market.
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember like one of the clients that I had here in Japan, one of the first questions was, what is your like mission statement? Like, what does your brand stand for? Because it like, it wasn't very clear in a lot of the meetings that we had. And I told them like, without that, like, I can't really like help advise, you know, because if we have nothing to build off of, you know, then it kind of just seems like we're going to be throwing kind of like, what is that saying where you like throw something at a wall and it doesn't stick?
Yeah.
Whatever that saying is. Yeah.
It's like, well, I think it's like usually used like, we'll find something that sticks.
But oh, yeah.
Opposite that.
Yeah, I'm just like making up my own sayings over here, I guess.
Okay, so I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
First, let me just throw them out there so I don't forget. But first, how can individual creatives sort of like use this sort of strategy to build their audience and connect with their audience more? So not in like a not authentic way, but in like, what are some like maybe strategies they can kind of use to tailor? And then secondly, how do you go into an environment like this, go like to a client and like, how do you have the confidence to do that?
Okay. Like,
so two totally separate questions.
No, it's okay. I'm going to be honest, and I have like a really bad memory, so you might need to repeat.
Okay.
The like second question after I finish answering the first one. But I think like if you are looking to sort of, wait, what is the first question again? See, I already forgot.
Yeah, no, let's rewind the tapes. No, so how can creatives like me use some of these strategies to sort of like build my audience and connect with people? And like, how do I, yeah, is there like any tips and tricks for like copywriting, or should I be writing more or be writing less, using hashtags, listening to the likes, or like, what should I be doing?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, when it comes to like my own personal creative stuff, like I still don't feel like I necessarily have the answers, but like if I did have to sort of like bullet point it, I think like what I'm noticing is really important is sort of like engaging with your audience as much as possible, because at the end of the day, like it's all like humans behind, you know, the art or like the post. And so I think like when you add a sort of like personal element to that, then that sort of like helps to grow your account in a way that I don't think it would if you just like posted like images that didn't necessarily have like a story behind it, if that makes sense. Or I think that that's like when a more meaningful relationship is established, you know, because I think you could post like a bunch of beautiful like sunset photos over and over again and get like a ton of followers, but I think at the end of the day, like I don't think any of those followers will necessarily be loyal to you, and that's something that I am constantly trying to nourish and grow and nurture, because I think like having really strong relationships with the followers that I do have and will potentially have, I think it's important for them to know who I am as a person, and what I sort of like believe in, versus like a very kind of like a non-meaningful relationship, if that makes sense.
Like maybe hiding behind
your
art, as opposed to like kind of revealing who you are.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess kind of just, it depends on how much you want to share too. But what I'm personally finding is, you know, like it's more important for me to kind of like have that sort of connection with the people who are engaging with like work that's so personal, you know, to my heart. That sounds so cheesy, but
yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And So what does that look like? So is it the descriptions, you're being a bit more open with the process and like, yeah, you know, maybe what you're thinking at the time? Yeah. Is it like the artwork itself? Or
I guess I just try to, I don't know, because I'm like, I guess I'm still experimenting with a lot of different ways to connect with my followers, because I've like promised that I was going to start a YouTube channel like probably 15 times. And I don't think I'm ever going to do it, to be honest, because it just seems like a lot of work. But I think, you know, it's like sometimes showing, you know, like the Japanese food that I'm cooking, or, you know, like being more personal in my stories and having like the ask me anything question buttons, or like even in my caption for my posts, you know, like I'll be a little bit more like on the cuff with like what I'm writing and like not think so much about what I'm going to say, you know, mm-hmm. And have it just be kind of like, I'm just trying to represent myself as best as possible and as honest as possible, in a way that I think people are going to appreciate. Does this make sense? I don't know if it makes sense to me. Does it make sense?
It really makes sense to me.
Okay, good.
Because I think like coming from an overthinker over here, like, you know, I'm like planning out what I'm going to say in the caption. Mm-hmm. Like, how does it, like, how do, you know, how do I want to appear rather than just like putting something out like who I am at that moment.
What I'm finding also that's really good practice is like, I've started these like small side accounts where like one account is just literally dedicated to like the mochi that I eat in Japan.
Amazing.
Yeah. And in those captions, I'm a lot more like thinking out loud, and I'll like post like really weird videos of me eating the mochi, and I like won't really even really care, you know, like what I look like. And like that has been like really good sort of like training or practice for me to like not care as much on my main account, you know? And I'm not saying like to go create like a zillion accounts and just like throw your honest feelings all over the place, but I found that that has been like helpful for me. Like, cause the other day I posted a video onto my main account of like hand soap. Which,
oh my god, no, I loved that. That soap, it made like a flower.
Yeah.
I showed my husband and he was like, that's the best soap I've ever seen.
I know, you gotta get some. Right? It's so crazy.
It's
so Japanese. I think I actually saw it on TikTok like at the beginning of the year, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then like I've been looking all over the place for it. But I guess because of like what's currently happening with COVID, like everybody's been buying up all this soap everywhere. And so anytime like I walk past a drugstore, I'm like, where is this soap? And then it like has just never appeared. But then because I've been so persistent, I found it online.
Oh, amazing.
Finally. It's,
gosh, it's so ingenious. Like, and it's just one of those things that's like,
it's so Japan.
It's so Japan. And it's like, how can you make, you know, every single thing in my house like intentional and cute? And I love that about Japan.
Yeah, I love it too. But it's such a problem. Like, my partner is always like, we have so many stuffed animals now. And he's like, we need to stop. And I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm like, I know it looks so crazy, but I just love it.
Yeah, no, I'm about to experience that, like getting stuffed animals for my baby.
Oh, cute. Oh, also, I said that I had like two bullet points. I just like, I don't want to forget, but.
No. Thanks for keeping me on track.
Yeah, no. But I guess like the second bullet point, and this is something that I sort of just like applied to my life in general, but it's just like, if you have like the desire, and this is something that we kind of talked about earlier too, but if you have like the desire to just try something, you know, that like feels weird and like different, I would just say, try it, you know, just like try anything that like your like sparks an interest for you. Because like me, you know, like sometimes it works out really well. And then like this beautiful thing will sort of like come out of it in a way that you didn't expect it to. And, you know, like it might not look like anything you currently see on the platform or like on social media, but that's fine. You know, like I think so much of social media these days has sort of turned into like, for a while, like in 2015 or whatever, like everything was like pink, right? On Instagram. I just feel like.
Like millennial pink.
Yeah, like it was like everything was like this millennial pink, and you know, like everybody was using pink, and even like admittedly, like I used pink because like I knew that it would like do well as like a color on the platform. But then it's just like at the end of the day, you should just try anything that feels good for you, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. No, and I love the idea of like You know, if something doesn't exist, maybe you should make it too. So I feel like, you know, maybe you have this dream, this sort of like this daydream, and you've created it and, you know, people love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So I want to get back to, how do you have the confidence to like go into a company and sort of work with them to create their whole social media strategy and, you know, and then tell them like, if you don't have a mission statement, like, I can't help you.
Yeah, I guess, like, I mean, there is a lot of imposter syndrome that happens throughout, you know, like, I'm currently interviewing for jobs here in Japan, and it's constantly like, I don't know how to do my job. And then so, but I think, like, freelancing has made me, like, need to almost, like, build up confidence in a way that I didn't have before. Like, I've always been a very sort of like extroverted person when it comes to kind of like opportunities that I know like I could benefit from for my career, if that makes sense. And so like if I need to go to like a networking event, then like I'm there, you know, like, or if I need to like make a connection with somebody who I think is doing something really awesome, you know, then I'll just like sort of reach out to them. But, you know, like as a freelancer, sometimes you need to kind of, and I think I heard this in like your interview or your podcast interview with Amber, where she sort of talked about like how she, or maybe I just, maybe it was something that Amber just said that I read in like passing. But she talks about like needing to sort of like also do the work in finding clients herself, which I think is so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which was surprising because she is so prolific in her work.
Yeah.
Like, and it's because she like makes it happen.
Yeah.
And it's really inspiring to
hear. Yeah, it is really inspiring because I'm always like, whoa, Amber's doing another project? Like, that's so cool, you know? And so I was wondering. Yeah. And then so it was like really reassuring or kind of like nice to hear that she takes like a very similar approach where, because like even last year, I think a lot of the projects that I got, probably like 50 or 60% of them, I had reached out, you know, to that contact and was like, hey, I'm available for work, you know?
I think that's amazing because I really feel like so many people think at a certain point clients should be reaching out to them and they feel sort of like a failure if that's not happening.
Yeah.
So I love that people are admitting, you know, that they do a lot of the groundwork in finding clients. And the same thing with Becky, the guest I just had, you know, she's still actually no opposite. Never mind. I take that back.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, because no, hers is like very different. Like she says she can't like really manipulate things. Like she just has to let people come to her and the timing has to be right. So I think it's so interesting now that I'm like thinking through this, how there are like different, these different like types of people, like people who can kind of manifest their destiny and then like people who just sort of have to like go with the flow and follow the timing.
Yeah. I'm definitely all about manifesting destiny.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm kind of a mix. Like, I really had to work so hard at first. Like the first 2 years of my career were just like pounding the pavement, emailing people.
Yeah,
it was intense. And then I just was like, why is this happening so slowly?
I know. Yeah.
But then I think like once you put enough work out there, like stuff sort of starts to like happen in the background too.
Yeah, I think it's, it's been a really interesting journey for me because like the first year, like last year when I went freelance, like I did get like a lot of people emailing me while I was also like reaching out to people as well. And then like this year, I just like haven't seen the same sort of like traffic in terms of work coming through just because of like the current situation, you know? And I started to get really bummed at the beginning of the year because I'm just like, damn, like last year was really nice. You know, like I had a really steady sort of like income or steady flow of like work. And then so I started to get like really sort of depressed. And then, you know, like after I kind of like got out of my funk by playing like Animal Crossing for like 30 days in a row, I was like, you know what? No, I just like need to do what I'm used to and just like reach out to people, you know, like. And that's sort of like where I'm at right now. I'm like interviewing for jobs. I'm like reaching out to like clients who I want to work with here. And so it's been good, I think, even though it's been slow. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Especially, and I think like sometimes you think things are permanent. Like,
yeah,
oh, I have all this work coming in. Like now I don't ever have to worry about it.
Yeah. You can't get used to that comfort, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think it's helpful to know that too, because it's, again, that's a phase
that
you're going through where you're not getting much work. So like,
yeah,
you know, that's not forever.
Yeah, it's a nice little like slap in the face every time you start to feel comfortable.
Yeah, life has a way of like yeah. making you grow, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of that, okay, so you just moved to Japan, like has it been like almost 2 years?
Yeah, it's almost been 2 years. I got a text from my old boss the other day where she's like, happy 2 year anniversary of like leaving New York. And I was like, oh, what?
That's so sweet. So thoughtful.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I didn't even realize. But yeah, it's been almost been 2 years, which is really crazy.
And what made you take the leap into moving to Japan, to moving, you know, across?
Yeah. So like long story short, I guess like my goal in life, like when I was 25, right, was to like work at a big sort of like media company in New York. And I sort of felt like I had achieved that in a really weird way that I didn't expect to. And so coming up on like 3 years of living there, I was like, oh shit, like what's next for me? You know, like I like my current situation, but I'm still kind of like young enough, you know, like I don't have any kids, I'm not married, there's nothing like keeping me in New York. So like what's sort of like next for me? And I have always wanted to live in Japan. My family's Japanese, but I'm like fifth generation. And so my family has been in Hawaii for a really long time. And so no one in my family speaks Japanese, but they feel very Japanese, or like, I guess like Hawaii Japanese, where a lot of the things that we do culturally, align with like a lot of the cultural things here, which is a really interesting environment to grow up in. And so I always wanted to be able to reconnect with that culture in like its birthplace. And I had visited Japan a few times before that just for like vacations, and I really liked it every time. And so I was just like, I'm going to try. And I tried it, and honestly, like moving here is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And so if you are considering moving to Japan, like a lot of people will like say in my DMs or like in comments, like, oh, I want to move to Japan so bad, or like Japan looks great, like I really want to move there, you know, like really, really like think about it. And like, you have to really want to do it, you know, because the idea of like moving to another country where like, if especially if you don't speak Japanese, can be really tough. Yeah. And so it's been a mental journey.
I imagine you had like sort of this idealized idea of what it would be like to move there. Like, what were some of the main differences between like reality and what you thought it would be?
Yeah, I guess like, I don't want this to get like too dark, because like I do really love my life here. And I think it's like the best like city, like Tokyo is the best city that I've ever lived in. But I would be lying to say that it doesn't come with its like downfalls at the same time. Like, as an American living here, even though I'm Japanese, you know, like I don't like, I have like tattoos on my arms. Like I wear like really like dark lined, like winged eyeliner. And so like, I just kind of stand out a little bit in a way that, you know, like if a Japanese person were to look at me, and I've been told this, you know, like I don't come off as like a Japanese person. And so I wasn't really expecting that, I guess, just because like coming from America, where I've been called like, you know, Asian and like Korean and like, you know, all these things that I didn't necessarily identify with growing up, like being in Hawaii and like having to move to the mainland and experience that sort of like, what is the word that I'm looking for? Like labeling. I thought like moving here, I would just be like with my people, you know, like in a way.
I've heard this before too. Like you can't just like be in either world.
Yeah. was a really like hard thing, or like a hard pill to swallow, just because like I thought I was going to feel, I mean, and I do feel comfortable here, but there are things like on a daily basis that reminds me that I'm so American, you know? And so, yeah, it kind of just feels like I don't necessarily belong on the mainland or in Japan. And it's like a weird sort of like limbo world to be in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Do you feel like that's sort of like shaped your work? Like, do you ever put that back into your work?
It's shaped my work in a way that I think like I didn't intend to do. So for example, when I lived in New York, I incorporated a lot more Japanese words into like some of the art that I would create. Like in the beginning, I think I made like one of the first things I created was the explanation of this term neba neba, which is when something is like really sticky, kind of like natto, which is like the fermented soybeans. Yeah. And so like I used to do a lot more work like that, but like now being here and trying to like learn the language and sometimes feeling overwhelmed by like that pressure, you know, like I am just like, oh, I don't like sometimes like some days I'm like, I don't want to watch any anime. I don't want to like write anything in Japanese. And I like kind of just like revert back to like my comfort zone, which, you know, like sometimes I need to do because like I also started taking like, intensive Japanese classes where it's like 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. Yeah. And so sometimes I'm just like, I need like a brain break, you know?
Yeah. And you're immersed in Japanese culture. Like yeah. You're in Tokyo, like you're, you know, in intensive language and you're like surrounded. I can see how you would need a break, how it would be like so different from New York.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was like a more fun thing to explore. And now, now you need like,
yeah.
Yeah. Now you need like a bit of a reprieve from Japanese culture.
Yeah. It's so weird how that's happened. And I actually haven't like said, like spoken about it out loud like this with anybody or even like to myself, but it's something that I've like felt where, like when I was in New York, I was constantly trying to like latch onto anything that reminded me of like my family, you know, like whether it was like food, like I would travel like 30 minutes or 40 minutes to go to like a Japanese grocery store, you know, or I was like constantly like watching new like J dramas or like anime shows. And I was like constantly trying to like read Japanese things. But then here, like, even though I'm doing all those things, I like am doing what I felt in New York here with like American stuff. Like I love watching like Dr. Pimple Popper, you know, just like the most American thing possible. I'm like, give it to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there has to be some balance there. So yeah. I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to come to realize though, you know?
Well, 'cause you've sort of like entered the faucet, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, in New York you're like, I need some like water, and then now you're like under a running faucet and you're like, I need some air.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah, whoa, exactly, yeah, that's how I'm feeling. Thank you for contextualizing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. do you feel like there's anything that has been like a big learning for you in being there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have grown so much mentally, I think. And is it like to say that you're like mentally strong or like you've like developed mentally? I don't even know if that's like a thing people say, but like in the first few months that I lived here, I honestly thought I was going to leave because if you don't come, like everybody's experience is different. Like some of my friends who've moved here have moved into a guest house where, you know, like all the utilities and everything is pretty much set up for you when you move in. But I really wanted my own apartment. And when you do that and move to Japan, like it doesn't come with a refrigerator. It doesn't come with a washing machine. Like your electricity is turned off. Your water is turned off. And so you need to like do all these things to set your life up here on top of finding an apartment. And sometimes like if you don't speak Japanese, like people just like are less likely to rent an apartment out to you, which is like kind of a hurdle in itself. And then so once you actually get the apartment, there are all these other things that you have to do in Japanese, which kind of just feels like a lot of like pressure and like work in the first, you know, like few months that you're living in a new country.
It's hard enough. That's so like hard enough to do when you're moving in the same town.
Yeah.
And you have to like set up Comcast.
Yes. Like, I know those situations are already so stressful. And so like when I moved here, I was like, shit, I feel like I'm learning how to become an adult again. You know, like when I just did that in New York by myself. And then now I have to do it in a completely different language that I don't like understand fully. But because of all of that and literally like the first year of living here, I have sort of just had to like relearn a lot of the things that I was used to. Like I definitely feel like so much better in the second year of being here. And I think like with most things, like once you sort of like find your groove, then things start to feel like easier, and you're able to like, or you can allow yourself to like appreciate things more.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it's definitely been like a growing experience, like from everything to like applying for a visa now, you know, and like having to go through that process, and like finding work in like a completely different country has been like, I could talk about that for like 10 hours.
No, I think like I definitely, so I studied abroad in London.
Oh, nice.
In college, and like I kind of went like, you know, everything's in English though, but it was like, it was similar, you know, mm-hmm. having to figure everything out. And I really feel like those opportunities and that type of growth is so good for you.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if it's like really painful yeah. in the moment, it's, you just power through. And
yeah, because you learn a lot about yourself in yeah. that process, and like
how yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. yeah.
And how much you're actually like willing or capable of like going through, you know, like even though things feel really shitty and stressful, you know, like it always does get better, which is, you know, like so cheesy, and like everybody says that all the time, but like it is really true, you know, like if you really want it, you know, like you can get it.
And sometimes I think like things like that have a high hurdle mm-hmm. to get over for a reason.
Yeah, like, that's true.
It's like when you're trying out for a sport, and like the tryouts, you like run 10 miles and then you never actually have to run that much
yeah.
once you're on the team.
Yeah.
But they're just like, it's like a test.
I know. Yeah. It's like all these yeah. Job interviews that I'm doing right now too. It's like, I don't know, like 50 rounds of interviews, you know?
And oh
I'm
my
just,
gosh.
And you're just like, what? But then, yeah, it's just like sort of like the initial bump.
Yeah, that would really make me question if I knew what I was doing too, like the imposter syndrome, like yeah. having to explain, and like, I don't know, for me, it's like, I just want to like do my thing. I don't want to have to explain it or prove to people.
I know
how to do it, and it gets so yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing that like you're in another country, you're applying to jobs, you're in an intensive language program, you've set up your life there. Like, that's so inspiring.
Thank you. It's nice to hear you like sum it up like that, because I'm like, damn, I am doing those things.
You've done a lot. Yeah, you should be really proud of yourself. And I think you're showing, you know, you're showing other people what's possible too. And I think that's really important. I feel like for a lot of people, they have an idea of like what's possible in their life. Mm-hmm. And then when they see, like, this is what's so great about social media. If you're not caught up in comparison and stuff,
yeah.
like it can really open up possibilities.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful way of putting it. Yeah. Also, like another, this is going to be like a little bit sad, but like another thing that also like really kind of like inspired or like kind of kept me going when I moved here to Japan and felt like really overwhelmed by everything. One of my mom's ex-boyfriends, funnily enough, was my soccer coach growing up. And so he's been like a very sort of like consistent or constant presence in my life. And he's somebody who's always been really supportive of, you know, like me just sort of like developing as a person. And so like, I've always really looked up to him, and he actually passed away at the beginning mm. or at the end of 2019, end of 2018. When did I move to Japan? Maybe like the end of 2018, I think in December. He had like a pretty aggressive form of cancer, but then I went to go Gosh. Visit him when he was in the hospital after not seeing him for a really long time because I was living in the mainland and whatnot. And him and my mom are like no longer together. But when I saw him, he was like, you know, I really wish that in my lifetime I did all the things that I wanted to do. You know, he's like, and I'm really happy to sort of see that like you're doing everything that you, you know, like have expressed that you've wanted to do in the past. And he's like, because it's like not everybody does it, you know? And he's like, that's one of the things that I wish I could have done. And so just like having him sort of like reassure or like kind of like tell me those words was like, okay, you know, like I'm doing the right thing, you know, like even though yeah. it feels really hard, it was kind of like really reassuring for me to hear that from him. So
like he sees you.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, he wasn't hung up on his regrets. He just saw in you like the light in you. And yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was really nice of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes there's people in your life that, like, are meant to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
To guide you. Yeah.
For sure. I didn't mean for it to get really sad, but it was.
No, no.
But yeah, no, it just had like such a positive impact on my, I guess, like life during that time.
Yeah. And sometimes like you need permission, you know, like you can't necessarily give it to yourself. Like sometimes it has to come from an external source and it's just like just the amount to tip you over.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a big decision to move to Japan. And so,
yeah. And yeah. I honestly couldn't have done it without like people telling me, you know, like you can always move back. Like New York isn't going anywhere, you know? And so I needed to be told that like, I don't know, like 500 times in order for me to actually leave. So.
Well, you actually did it.
Yeah.
I think that's rare. So yeah. Good on you.
Thank you.
Well, so I can keep talking to you forever, but we're already at like an hour. And so, gosh, how do I even wrap this up? Because I have some questions from some listeners.
Yes, please ask me. I have time.
Okay, cool. So, I have three here. So, okay, so what's some advice you would give for overcoming the initial fears of sharing your work?
Some advice. I feel like it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, too, where... like something that constantly like replays in my head is my dad growing up, he would always tell me that the world doesn't revolve around me. And so like sometimes when I get caught up in like, oh, will people like this or like, will people not like it? Like at the end of the day, it's something that like I want to do. And like not everybody is going to care in the same way that like I, like the only person who's putting pressure on myself is me, you know, if that makes sense. And so it's like, if you kind of like, put yourself in that mindset where it's like, I'm doing this for myself, you know, and it doesn't really like, nobody's going to care the same way that I do, you know, or like be as like critical, then that always kind of just is like the push that I need. That's kind of like a tough love way of like saying it, but.
I feel like that's really freeing though. You know, it's like you're your own worst critic.
Yeah.
And I still like, I forget that. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know. It's like when you're always putting out work, you're like, well, this one needs to be better than the last one.
Yeah.
And you can get caught up in that. And
I know. Cause I think at the end of the day, like people are just like appreciative that you're, I would like to think, you know, that like people will just like appreciate you trying something new, you know, or like trying to be expressive. And if somebody's like not supportive of that, then like fuck them, you know?
Yeah, it does show you like, you know, maybe who should be in your life.
Like if somebody's gonna be a dick about like you trying to like express yourself, then like you probably don't want that person in your life, you know?
Yeah. And I hate that some people stop people
from
pursuing their dreams, you know? And great advice. Okay, and so what helped you build confidence in your work is the second one.
I don't know if this is like counterintuitive of what I just said, but I feel like after taking that initial leap of just like posting something that I liked and, you know, something that I wanted to present as like an extension of myself, you know, like it was really nice to have people who I didn't know, you know, like comment, even if it was just one person saying like, wow, this is really beautiful. You know, like even just like one comment like that from a stranger, I think helps to honestly build confidence, you know, because we're human. And so, I don't know. I don't know if that's like me being a hypocrite, but.
No. It's funny because like it does seem kind of contradictory, but no, I totally get it. And I think it's really nice. Like if you post something that you love and then like other people find it and find meaning in it or like it too, it's just, I don't know, it's like you're sort of on the right track. And
and then even like on the other side too, like if you like it and if somebody who's a jerk, you know, like comes and says that they don't like it, you know, like they're obviously entitled to their opinion, but if at the end of the day, if you like it, you know, like it's important to also like find that confidence in yourself and in your work, you know, to be able to kind of like be strong enough to be like, okay, that's your opinion, you know, but I'm going to continue to do it because like it makes me happy.
And this is something I talked about with Amber too, which is like, you know, when you get a negative comment, it's like usually you get like 100 great comments, so like super supportive, and you get one negative comment, and then that's like the one you remember. And it's like, and I think it's important to remember that usually people are like commenting something because they're going through something.
Yeah.
So like if they're like saying something nasty about it in the comments, it's usually because, you know, they're going through something in their life. That's how they're like sort of venting.
Yeah.
And so it's usually not about you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to think that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently got a comment on a post. I don't even remember what I was said in the post. But I think it had something to do with like coronavirus maybe, or like wearing a mask. Maybe, I don't remember, but somebody said that it was a stupid message. And like initially, you know, anytime I get like a bad comment, I'm just like, oh, like ouch, that like really hurts.
Yeah.
And then but then like something that I'm trying to practice now is like trying to understand why they feel that way, and like rather than like immediately lashing back and being like, well, fuck you, get off of my page, then I just I think I tried to approach it from a place where I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, like, well, why do you feel that way? And then I think that they responded with like an answer of like why they thought that my message was wrong. And then I kind of just like was like, okay, I appreciate, you know, that you shared that with me, but this is how I feel.
Yeah.
So it's a weird world to navigate, I guess. But
okay. And what just came to me too while you were saying that was just like, and I haven't really thought about this before, but being a creative, like you have to like be totally vulnerable and empathetic, but also like so strong to like keep doing what you're doing and like putting yourself out there.
So
I think it's like important to sort of like not let every negative comment like derail you from what you're here to do. But yeah, it can be really tough to like, you see that and then it's like you feel like a pit in your stomach. And
what keeps me going at least is it like it makes me happy, you know, like I kind of like turn to creating art as like a mental release or like something that I can do to kind of just like relax, you know. And so I'm not going to be so vulnerable in a way where like I'm gonna let somebody take that away from me, you know. So it's kind of important that I protect it, I guess, for myself.
Totally. And I think like you have such a big following that there's going to be a negative comment in there sometimes, because like you just have such a big audience, you know. So yeah, I'm really glad that that doesn't stop you and like doesn't make it so that you don't enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, full transparency though, a friend recently showed me that you can restrict comments. And so I've recently turned that on where only the people who are following me are allowed to comment on my posts. So it kind of,
that's handy.
Yeah. So it kind of like reduces the trolls maybe. So like,
yeah,
they can't just like come in and like say something mean and then leave.
They're held accountable.
Yeah. Or it's like
a bit more.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're a little bit more invested. And so like, I'm interested in hearing your opinion, you know?
Yeah. 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 Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, and so what's the best way to find new clients?
The best way to find new clients, I just do a ton of research. Like, I'll just go on my laptop for maybe like 3 hours at a time when I'm like really feeling into it, and I'll kind of like, it's kind of funny, I'll use Instagram. So I'll like look up a brand that I really like respect and love what they're creating. And then, you know, that little like arrow tool where it shows you like similar accounts that if you press, like all these accounts pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. I never use that. Yeah.
Use it. Yeah. Oh my God. Because yeah. Like, from there, it'll like bring up all these other accounts where I'm like, oh yeah, like I haven't heard of them, but they're doing something really cool. And then, so that honestly is like one of like the only ways that I, or that is like one of the ways that I've been sort of like finding new clients recently, or just becoming aware of like those, that those brands exist. And recently,
that's so handy.
Yeah, like I did that for, I did that recently and came across a artist agency out here in Tokyo called The Bee's Knees. And I was like, whoa, I like love what they're doing. I love their art direction. I love the artists who they represent. And yeah, it kind of like, now I'm helping them out, you know, like part time. And so, and I just like,
that's such a good fit.
Yeah. And I just like reached out to them, through like their contact form on their website. And I was like, I love you. please work with me.
That's amazing. Yeah. 'Cause like sometimes I feel like those forms just kind of like you go into the abyss, yeah, never to be heard from again.
Yeah, but it forms a beautiful relationship, I think, because they're all so awesome and they're all so nice. And so I'm glad that I reached out and did that research.
Yeah, it seems like maybe you guys are just sort of on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Is that Agent Tokyo?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's them.
Yeah. They are. Yeah, they have an amazing roster.
Yeah, I know.
Like Chrissy Abbott.
And Kate Morose, I think, is also.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I hope I pronounced their last name correctly. But yeah. Yeah, no, that was like one of the more beautiful things that happened in my life recently.
That's wonderful. What's on the horizon for you? Like, where do you see yourself?
Ooh, horizon.
Coming? Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know.
Do you feel like you are just kind of, if you're feeling good in the moment,
yeah,
you know you're on the right track? Or do you sort of have like a lot more of a longer term view on
this? I don't know if this has anything to do with me being a Virgo, but I just like knowing what's next for me. Mm-hmm. I like having control. Like, for example, if my partner and I go out for a walk, I like need to know where the destination is.
Oh yeah. I'm a Pisces. I am the same way.
And so basically I like having an idea of what my future looks like. And right now, we've been talking about just trying to stay in Japan long term. And I don't know what that looks like career wise. But I'm kind of just in a place right now where I want to get a lot better at Japanese. And I want to become fluent. And so I'm putting a lot of my energy and time into that goal. And then I'm hoping that from there, it'll open a lot more opportunities, because what kind of sparked that drive in me was I was interviewing at a lot of different companies here, like Netflix and I can't remember the other ones, but they would always come back to me and they'd be like, oh, you know, like you're perfect for the role, but because you don't speak Japanese, you know, like we can't move forward. And so after hearing that so many times, you're just like, fuck, you know, like this is so frustrating. And so I'm just like, I need to get better at Japanese so it can open up more opportunities for me. And so
yeah
that's the current game plan, I guess.
I think moving forward in that direction. I just already feel like you are sort of like attracting all these things into your personal universe, and I think it's gonna be great.
I hope
I just get a really good vibe from you.
Thank you I'm gonna have that on repeat in my mind when I'm feeling sad. I'll be like, Allison said this.
Please, yeah, you can like repeat it on the podcast. It's recorded.
True Yeah, I can just listen to it, hype myself up every day.
Exactly. Well, it's been amazing talking to you. Like, I just feel more energized now.
Yay.
I'm super excited to share this.
Yay. And, I loved speaking with you too. It was such a nice conversation. We should just like talk on the phone sometimes.
No, seriously, we should. And I'm an introvert, so that's like, I never say that.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for thinking of me for this. This is so fun.
Of course. Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lindsay as much as I did. Links to find out more about Lindsay are in the show notes of this episode. You can find those at thefriendlyunknown.com. To stay up to date on all things The Friendly Unknown, you can follow me on Instagram at Allison Felice. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review. This helps people find us. Or share an episode with a friend you think might enjoy it. I'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode. Until then, take care.